We heard about intimacy, and on the way up here, the Lord laid it in my heart on those thoughts of intimacy, and it was just explained so preciously this morning. I appreciate that thought about that as we go through difficult times with Jesus, that we enter into more closer, intimate relationship with Him. That's scriptural. It says that we are partakers of His afflictions, and when we become a partakers of His afflictions, we enter into who He is, how He suffered, and it's a more intimate, deeper relationship. Amen. I love so much what it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Verse 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to Him that he should ask who it should be of whom He spake, regarding that He had just said, Jesus had said, somebody's going to betray Me. Verse 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto Him, Lord, who is it? How many of you have wanted a job somewhere? Maybe entered into a certain college or school. And you know that there has to be an insider there. Someone that's close to the boss or to the dean. And usually talk to that person or have somebody talk to that person that's in close with them. Correct? And I just love this, that here Peter was asking Jesus, because he was snuggled up with Jesus, and ask him, who is it that's going to betray Him? Amen. And it says that when he asked, then Jesus answered. Amen. I just love those saints that are close up, snuggled up to the Lord. And sometimes we call them up for healing, right? We have a difficulty, we have a burden, we call them to pray with us because we have confidence that they have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're snuggled up like John was, leaning on Jesus' breast and in His heart. Amen. You know, leaning up next to the heart, says in one place leaning on His bosom, in the other place leaning on His breast. Isn't that the center right here? Hearing His heartbeat? He was right at the center of Jesus' heartbeat. Isn't that where we all want to be? Right in the center? Right close up to Jesus' heartbeat? I hope that that's where we want to be. Amen. When you're in love, young men, with a young woman, we being saints, right? You can't wait till the day you marry her so you can be snuggled up close to her. Amen? You don't want her sleeping in the next room, do you? You want to be in the same place where she's at. Amen? And you can't wait for that moment, right? I'm thankful to be the bride of Christ. Are you thankful to be the bride of Christ? I don't want Him in another chamber way over there. I want Him right here, snuggled up close to me. I'm His bride. He's my bridegroom. I want to hear His heartbeat. I want to be in the center of all that He thinks, of all of His desires, of all of His purpose. I want to be right there along by Him, with Him. Amen? I was once visiting an uncle of mine in prison. I was a missionary then. I was about 23 years old. And we entered into a waiting room along with my companion missionary. And we were sitting in there and we were observing the people that were going in and out of that room. And there were two young girls that were coloring, and there was a woman there. I assume that was a mother. And as soon as the man came out, a young-looking man, one of the young girls looked up and said, "Hi, Daddy." She was coloring. She looked back down again and kept on coloring. The other little girl who was coloring also, when she looked up, she said, "Daddy." She dropped her crayons, and she ran up. She jumped up to him, grabbed him by the neck, and embraced her with the legs and everything. "Daddy, Daddy," and started kissing him. Now, if you were there and observing, who would you think loved Daddy more? The one that looked up and said, "Hi, Daddy." She didn't ignore her daddy. She talked to Daddy. But she looked back down and kept on doing what she was doing. Or the one that ran up, abandoned what she was doing and hugged him. Well, there's no question who loved the daddy the most, right? Oh, may we be that way, brothers and sisters. May we not be sitting at home. Time for the service begins and we're busy on the cell phone texting. We're busy out there talking to somebody else. May the Lord help us. Do we love our daddy that much that we want to be where he's at? Are we going to say, "Hi, Daddy," and then keep on back to texting? Amen? Back to our program on television, because that's more important to us. "Oh, hi, Daddy," and then keep on looking at that program? Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. Mechanicking, I got to get it fixed. I can't be in the service today. "Hi, Daddy," and then keep on working on our mechanical work. May the Lord help us. Oh, I want to be more like John. I want that deep, intimate relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife to bring me my hymn book from my seat there, please. Praise the Lord. There's a song in the hymn book that says, the black one, it speaks about being alone with God. Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, hopeless retreat. Alone with God, and in Him hidden. To hold with Him communion sweet. Amen. Do we like to be alone with God? Yes. Or do we find it uncomfortable? Do we find it tedious? Do we find it a chore? I don't. And every morning I get up and I go to the bathroom and I pray alone with the Lord, in audible voice, but alone. I close the door and I read my Bible alone with Him. And then I sing to Him. Sometimes there's things that come up that I have to do and it can interfere. It can make me want to rush sometimes, but I say, no, Lord, I want to be alone with God. Oh, blessed retreat. Do you like to be alone with God? I believe you do. I believe you do. Praise the Lord. There was a disciple leaning on Jesus' breast. Praise the Lord. Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? These were the two men, disciples of Jesus, that were on their way to Emmaus. Jesus accompanied them, started walking with them. They didn't know who He was. Their eyes were veiled, you could say. They talked to Him about, don't you know what's happened, that Jesus of Nazareth died? And He said, no. And where are you from? Why don't you know? Basically, they were saying, as He talked to them, He started to open up the Scriptures to Him, how He was to be crucified and resurrect the third day. Amen. And He said in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? 29. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. I like that word burned. Burn. Something was burning inside of them. You know, many substances cannot be shaped and formed unless they are put under a burning fire. Some kind of flame. Car parts. I'm sure that our cars out there, they used to do that way years ago. I'm sure it's still done that way. The body parts of the car, they have to be put in flames to mold the metal, the sheet metal. This building, it has all kinds of things that had to be put through flame to be molded into the shape so they could be useful, right? And it's not until we have that burning, close, intimate relationship with the Lord that something is going to change in our hearts. A burning is going to take place. It's going to change us. Did you notice the attitude of the disciples in the beginning before Jesus joined them? They were doubting, they were fearing, they were sad. And as He started to speak with them, as He drew near in an intimate, close relationship with them, their attitude started to change. Their hearts began to burn. That means they were happy. There was something special was happening. They even didn't want Him to leave. They invited Him. They constrained Him to come and be with them. Do you understand the secret of Jesus burning inside of you? Is that He walk with you? That you invite Him to come be with you? Amen?
Praise the Lord.
I've been around glass blowers there in Juarez, Mexico. And I don't know how it all works, but I think they sometimes have grains of glass broken up, and they start heating a tube, and they put a glob of melted glass at the end of it, and they keep on putting that little tube with the glob of melted glass over some heat, and then they'll blow, and then they'll keep on putting over the heat and blow again. They'll make hummingbirds, beautiful flowers, dolphins, all kinds of things in just a few minutes, but it has to be put under the burning fire for it to be pliable. So when He blows into it, oh, they're beautiful. I've seen them. Gorgeous work that they do. You know, we want to be molded more into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's going to take a burning, close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for that to continue. If we get cooled off and we don't maintain ourselves in that burning, intimate, close relationship with the Lord, when He blows, when the Holy Spirit blows, nothing's going to happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, may the Lord spare us from cold formality, a form of godliness that does not change the heart. Just conforming ourselves to the outward standards, but not really allowing the Lord to change our hearts. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ burn strong within our hearts and cause this change to take place in our hearts, saints. Amen? It requires the burning to bring us to the place, that burning relationship to bring us to the place, that burning love in His heart, in our hearts, to bring us to the place that He can mold us and shape us. Amen? There's a song from the church that we left that I loved then and I love now. I'd like to sing some of it. May Thy perfect love, O Lord, burn strong within my heart, that I may in Thy truth abide and from all sin depart. O cause Thy perfect love within my heart to burn, that I may ne'er unfaithful be, nor from Thy pathway turn. May Thy perfect love, O Lord, inspire my soul each day to do Thy will and Thine alone. O give me grace alway. O cause Thy perfect love within my heart to burn, that I may ne'er unfaithful be, nor from Thy pathway turn. As Thy perfect love, O Lord, burns with a constant flame, I'll seek to glory in the cross and share my Master's shame. O cause Thy perfect love within my heart to burn, that I may ne'er unfaithful be, nor from Thy pathway turn. May Thy perfect love unite Thy saints in every land, that they may all be one with Thee, fulfilling Thy command. O cause Thy perfect love within my heart to burn, that I may ne'er unfaithful be, nor from Thy pathway turn. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Haven't the Scriptures been opened to us here? Don't we leave camp meeting with a more burning, deeper, closer relationship with the Lord? I do. Praise the Lord. How many of you have ever boiled potatoes and you didn't boil them enough? And you go to try to mash them and they won't mash? It has little lumps in it. It wasn't over the burning heat enough. Amen. It had to go through a process. Have you ever tried to eat spaghetti before it's been put into boiling water? It's no good. It doesn't taste. The other day we were in a restaurant and my wife ordered grits and they were so busy. I think it was Christmas Day on the way up here. And they gave her the grits, and the grits, she says, they taste grainy. And I thought she was being picky. She said, let me taste them. And oh, they were gross. They had put them in the microwave thing, and they didn't leave them in the heat long enough, and it just didn't do it. They didn't taste right. Do you find that your relationship with the Lord does not taste right at times? Oh, may we just get closer to the burning flame of His love, so they'll have that right taste, that right consistency, that will be a blessing to those around us. Amen? Praise the Lord. May the Lord save us from that cold formality. What brings an intimate relationship with the Lord? How does it begin? We heard some about that from Brother Leslie, apart from Brother Ed Wilson. It says in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. What's life eternal? That they might know thee. It's as we enter into a deeper, closer relationship with the Lord that we taste more of that eternal life. That we get more of that smell. Sometimes my neighbors are cooking and I'm hungry and they're doing steaks outside and I can just smell it all the way over. My saliva starts drooling and it just makes me want it. Amen? What's going to cause for there to be a deep eternal reward? Eternal life? It's as we get to know our Lord and Savior more and more. In the Old Testament, it used to say, and he entered the tent and knew her. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You read those places? They got to know their bride in a more intimate, close way. And I believe that's what it's talking about, not just knowing about him, but entering his tent and getting to know him in a very intimate, special way. That's when life eternal begins. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. We all know that he knew that Jesus was coming that way, passing that way. Verse 3, and he sought to see that new movie that came out. Oh, it doesn't say that. And he sought to see that latest software program of the computer. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Do you see the urgency, the desire that he had? He had heard about Jesus, and maybe he'd heard about what he'd done for others and the intimate, close relationship that they had with him. And he wanted some of that. He wanted to be a part of that. And he couldn't wait. A businessman running. And then all the people getting in the way. I can just picture him making a way, getting through all the people. Excuse me, and just pushing him out of the way and climbing up that tree. Sometimes it's so easy to allow family members to come visit us on service night and to not come to the service. You know, Jesus said, if you do not love me more than mother, father, you know it. You are not worthy of me. Amen. And the judgment day, is it going to be our family that's going to save us, brothers and sisters? Or is it going to be our deep, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it, saints. He didn't allow the press to keep him from seeing Jesus. He climbed up the tree. Oh, may the Lord find us climbing up to sanctification. Amen. A higher plane, a higher level, where we can see him more clearly. Amen. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Who he was, to know him intimately. Praise the Lord. And he didn't allow anything nor anyone to interfere with him getting to see Jesus. Amen. May we be that way, saints. Amen. It also says in the gospel, according to John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father in eternity, from eternity to eternity. Many people think that when Jesus was born, amen, and laid in that manger, that was the beginning of Jesus. But we as God's people know that he's been from everlasting to everlasting. He came out of the heart of God. He proceeded out of the Father. He proceeded out of the bosom of the Father. He's the one that has declared him unto us. Praise the Lord. We're so thankful for that. Jesus prayed in John 17, 21 and 22, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one even as we are one. As we have a close, living, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then we're going to be closer to one another. The schisms and the fault finding, the unforgiveness is going to disappear. Amen? That was Jesus' prayer, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus came out of God the Father. He wants us to be one, understanding one another, patient with one another, loving with one another. And that's what it is. I'm thankful for you, saints. I feel that from you all. I love you, saints. I feel one with you. Those of you that are one with Christ, I feel one with you. Amen? It says also a wonderful picture of wisdom, but I believe it refers to Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Proverbs 8, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Speaking about wisdom, I like to place Jesus here. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Verse 30. Then I was by him. I, the Son, was by God the Father. As one brought up with him and was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Such intimacy between God the Father and God the Son. And that's the intimacy that Jesus is calling us into, that we may be one, as he and the Father are one, that we may be one. If we're missing out on that, let's get closer to Jesus, and we're going to enjoy very close, intimate fellowship with one another, brothers and sisters. I remember Brother Clinton visiting us recently there in Juarez, Mexico, and he preached, and I was interpreting. Part of the time, I couldn't interpret because I was crying. And then he would start to cry. And then the saints would start to cry. And I was trying not to. I just was so... my wife had to take over translating. I just felt the intimate spirit of the Lord coming in through Brother Clint and then touching my heart. It's beautiful. Isn't it beautiful to cry for the right reason, saints? It's beautiful. You can't talk. The tears say it all. Amen? Praise the Lord. I have it recorded. I was listening again to it the other night. I was going, wow, we cried a lot when Brother Clint came. Because the Holy Spirit blessed so much. He was so anointed. We don't exalt Brother Clint, but we will exalt the Holy Spirit that spoke through him, amen, and helped us all through him. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. By night in my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Jesus had not been born yet, but this is typifying Christ, or maybe even prophesying about Jesus the Son that was to come. A certain bride was looking for her husband. By night in my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Have you woken up and found that Jesus is no longer by you? Do you feel distant from him today? Get up from where you're at. We heard about getting up from where we're at, right? Rising up from where we're at, going to him. She didn't stay where she was and go, oh, I feel so bad that he's not here. She got up and did something about it. Amen? She loved him so much, she was going to go look for him. I will rise now. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We've all encountered those times in our relationship with the Lord when we feel we're praying and looking for something from the Word of God to feed us and to feed others, and nothing seems to come. We feel, oh, my beloved is not here. I will arise and go get my beloved, amen? Verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. She wanted to get alone with him when she got him. She grabbed him and she would not let him go. Do we feel that way about Jesus today, saints? Or are we too busy embracing something else? Our occupation, our career, our mother, our father, our children? A pastime? She embraced him and she would not let him go, whom my soul loveth. You know, Jesus is the lover of our souls. He loves our soul. Nobody's ever going to love our soul like Jesus does. And may we say back to him, I love your soul. I'm looking for him whom my soul loveth. Do you really love Jesus that much? I have cats at home. I'm a cat lover. And some people hate cats. I don't understand why they hate cats. But anyway, I feel sorry for you if you hate cats. I have cats. There was a stray cat some years back, 5 years ago, that had 5 kittens. We kept 2 of them. One's Copito, one's Felina. And Copito and I have a very special relationship. I held him like a little white rat since he was a baby. And you know, I've always kissed him and hugged him and purred him and spanked him too when he's bad and fed him and washed him. And he thinks I'm, I guess, his mother or something. And so now that he's grown, he's 5 years old, this beautiful white fluffy cat with blue eyes, he's just beautiful. I always have the custom when I see him, I grab him and I bite him. We wash him. He has no fleas, okay? I wash him. I bite him, and every time I bite him, it goes, and he goes like this, and he'll go limp like that. And so As the day goes on, a day goes by, he'll start going meow at the door. Meow, because he wants me to grab him and do that to him. He wants to experience that intimate relationship with me. He's a little strange cat, but he loves it. You know, when I'm biting him and he's doing like that, I'm going, that's the way I am with Jesus. Jesus, I want you to get a hold of me and just love me to death. And when he's not near us, we go, meow. Jesus, draw near, Jesus. I need your comfort right now. I need your extra help today, amen? She sought her beloved, and she could not find them. And she didn't stop until she found them. Amen? The Epistle of John, the book before Revelation, Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You know, many times we say we want the saints to come out of Babylon and come to us. But if they only come to us and they don't come to Jesus, they're going to miss a great part of the formula, right? Amen? May have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. As we have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as the church of God, we're His bride, we're going to have fellowship with those that are having fellowship with them too, right? And what brings us into fellowship? Walking in the light. What's the light? The Word of God, obeying what it says, doing it out of our heart, amen? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Our relationship with others, how we think about others, how we see others in our heart, how we feel about them, how we treat them, it's going to affect our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it's saying right here. If we are not humbling ourselves before one another, forgiving and being patient and long-suffering, it is going to have a direct effect on our intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that scriptural, saints? It's right here. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. They adorned themselves in this way, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That's an adornment. Being in subjection to your husband. It makes you beautiful, wives. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Oh, the husbands too. Dwell with them according to knowledge or wisely. Be careful how you speak to them. Speak to them in a way that they can accept it. May the Lord help us all. Dwell with them according to wisdom. May we have wisdom to know how to speak to our wives. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God. I love that. Grace of life. That your prayers, what? Be not hindered. I'm going to speak to us husbands here. Have you ever had a little disagreement with your wife, and you didn't settle it right away? You were being a little proud, and you thought you were right, and she's the one that needs to humble herself. Can you pray in an intimate way with the Lord? No, you can't. No, you can't, because all you're thinking about is that there's something between you and your wife. Amen? No, I've learned that as soon as I offend my wife somehow, or I do something that hurts her, and I feel that there's a distance between us, I ask her, what happened? She says, you know what happened. And I say, oh, well, I know what we talked about, but I don't know exactly what happened. And I give her a chance to open up. And she tells me, and I say, oh, I think you misunderstood. I'm so sorry. I said, but I won't do it again. I said, I'm sorry. And right like that, it takes care of the problem. We don't have to wait weeks and months, you know, going to one another. We can forgive one another right away. Amen? You know, if we are not forgiving with one another and patient with our mates, it is going to affect our intimate relationship with the Lord. Not just between husband and wives, with our brothers and sisters too. Amen? May the Lord help us. One of the secrets to having a more deeper, closer, intimate relationship with the Lord is that we keep the line of communication, the line of love and mercy and forgiveness flowing in between us as brothers and sisters, and even between in the world. We need to forgive them too. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Because he was going to come reprimanding them. Lest there be debates. Are there debates amongst the saints? Envies? Are we envious? I hope not. I hope we admire one another for the gifts God has given them and know that they have their their place in the family of God. Amen. Are there wrath, stripes, backbitings, whisperings about one another? Swellings, tumults? If there are, it's already affecting our intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't come to service and have three people around us that we've had something against and we haven't opened it up and talked about it and expect for the loving, intimate Spirit of the Holy of God, of Christ, to come down and to touch us in a special way. Do you have something that's keeping you from having that intimate relationship with the Lord today because of a problem with a brother or sister? I admonish you. I beg with you. Go and take care of it right now. Don't be too proud. Go take care of it. It's hindering. It's crippling your relationship with the Lord. Go take care of it right now. Amen? Humble yourself and say, I'm the one to blame. You just take the blame. Be like Jesus. Revelation chapter 4, verse 15. And I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If we're allowing debates and envyings and whispering about, look what she does, and she does it all the time, and he does it all the time, and it's getting on my nerves, it's going to cause us to be lukewarm with one another. It's going to cause our service to be lukewarm. It is. But you know, when we love one another, and our, like when Brother Clint went, I love Brother Clint. There's never been anything between me and problems. When he went there, I was just so thankful that he went to see us. I was so thankful that there was finally somebody there preaching the Word of God, not just Tony all the time, Brother Tony and Sister Lissette, but that they could feel the love of God coming through another different individual. And it backed up what I taught. It backed up how I feel and how I act, because Brother Clint came with this burning hot, fiery red hot relationship with the Lord and touched us all and just melted us all. He didn't. The Holy Spirit of God, the love of God through him. Amen. When I was a young missionary again, about 26, 25 years old, we would stay in homes. The people that we were preaching to, they'd have a room for us and we'd stay with them in the denomination that we left. And we stayed with a family. They had a big family. They had adopted two children. And they had a custom there where on the birthday of the child of that home, to make it special, that each of the members of the family would buy him a gift to her and wrap it. And then they'd hide it throughout the house. Probably heard me talk about this. And they'd blindfold that birthday girl or boy. And then they'd let him walk in direction, any direction of the house. And they would direct him by saying, or her by saying, if they're getting close to the gift hidden, you're getting hot. You're getting hot. And then when he deviated a little bit, he'd go, oh, you're getting cold. You're getting cold. And then he'd check, you're getting hot. You're getting hot. You're getting cold. Hot, hot, cold. And they changed like that until finally he was going in the right direction. You're getting hot. You're about to get burned. You're getting hot. You're getting hot. Until finally he'd be directed right to the spot where the gift was sitting and he'd get it or she'd get it. Oh, may the Holy Spirit make us to know when we're getting cold and when we're getting hot that we're on the right track to keep on doing that. Amen. And may we change directions. May we repent of what we're doing if it's making us lukewarm or cold. Amen. This church in Laodicea, they were lukewarm and they didn't even know it. Amen. They were naked and they didn't even know it. May the Lord help us. Matthew 19, verse 21. Holding on to the riches of this world, to possessions in a way that we should not. Giving them too much time, too much priority, is going to cause us to go away from Jesus. It's going to break our intimate relationship with the Lord. It says in Matthew 19, verse 21, the rich young ruler, you remember the story. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What happened? He didn't want to do it. He had too many things that were much, much more important than Jesus Christ himself. Things that he honored more, that he gave more priority to, things that were more precious. And he wasn't willing to give them up. And because he wasn't willing to sacrifice them, cut him off, cast him away from his life, get rid of them, he went away. He didn't enjoy an intimate relationship with the Lord. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. And he went away not happy, rejoicing. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Is there something in your life today that's taking too much of your time? I know you saints here don't have television. If you had television, I would say, that thing's taking too much of your time. Get rid of it right now. Some people spend too much time in front of the computer playing computer games. I went the other day there in Mexico. I don't have a computer, and I don't condemn you for having one. I've chosen not to have one, and I don't want it. I believe I've sold furniture. I've designed furniture on it and sold it to the people. I have nothing against computers in that way, but I don't like the direction that it leads me. But I entered the other day to make some CDs there in Juarez, Mexico. It's a computer place. And we sat there waiting for them to burn the CDs, and I was watching the young people play the computer games. Horrible games. Murder, and it's you're like the person playing the game, a reality game, and they were shooting people. That was like you shooting the people. You were in the game. You were strangling people. You were stabbing people. And there were, I guess the point was how many people you could kill. I don't know what it was. I was just shocked. It was like a shock to me because I guess I'm so far removed from it. It shocked me. Are you spending time on that? You need to get rid of that. You're going to go away from Jesus sorrowful one day if you keep on doing that. Amen? May not be a possession that we're not willing to get rid of if it is not in accordance with the Word of God. Amen? The Gospel of John. Praise the Lord. I love these verses right here. Chapter 19, the Gospel of John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom Jesus loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. I just want us to get the picture here. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged when we see how few of the saints there are. Right now, there's a lot of us because we've come from different directions. But what about when we all go to our different congregations? There's just 5, 12, 13, 15. I've understood. I've not visited, but I understand that a lot of the congregations are small. And you might ask, are we in the wrong church maybe? Or are we doing something wrong? Why are there so few? Well, the answer was in the young man, rich ruler. There are not too many that are wanting to get rid of the things that are keeping them from having a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. Where were those 5,000 plus the other 5,000 women and children plus children? Let's say 5,000, 10,000, half of that, 7,500 people that followed Jesus for the loaves and the fishes. Where were they when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Where were they? Where were the 500 after Jesus resurrected that he appeared to at one time? Were they occupied with their possessions? Were they lukewarm? I don't know. They surely were not leaning on Jesus' breast like John was. I just love that. There were just a few around the cross, at the foot of the cross. Do you know that it's at the foot of the cross where we're going to encounter or discover an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? It will be at the foot of the cross. That's what Brother Ed Wilson was talking about this morning. When we go through an experience with somebody that's hard, they went with Jesus. How many times have we visited sick people suffering? We might not know what to say, but we're by them, right? We go there to encourage them. Amen. Jesus, the lover of our soul, was going through the most difficult experience in his whole life. Where were all those people, the throngs that were thronging him, where they had to get apart in a desert? They had to get in a boat and cross because the people were falling. They couldn't even eat. Where were all those people? They were occupied with other things. Other things were more important to them. It's at the foot of the cross where we're going to encounter a deep, precious encounter with intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to focus on the word cross here. There's many verses. I'm not going to turn to them. I jotted down a few of those verses parts. One of them is, and praise the Lord, I want to first say that crucifixion with Christ brings us into a more deeper, closer, intimate relationship with Him. Crucifixion with Christ brings us into a more deeper and closer and intimate relationship with Him. It says in Romans 6:6 that the old man is crucified with Christ. When the old man that loves pleasures is crucified, when the old man that loves possessions more than Jesus is crucified, and God imparts with us His divine nature, the divine nature of Christ loves the divine nature of Christ. Amen? Dwelling in us. Amen? There's no battle. There's no conflict. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Can you say that? Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Do you find that there are certain affections that your body desires, your spirit desires, and they want to cause you to go away from God and the things of the Lord? They keep you from reading the Word of God. They keep you from obeying the commands of God. I'm not going to go into any personal things right here, but there might be something in your life right now, in our lives, that we're struggling with, because it's an affection that does war with our affection that we have for Christ. It does battle. It competes with it. Amen? We need to crucify that. May the Lord help us to get down to business and say, Lord, I want to crucify this. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians 6:14, Paul was saying that I will glory saving the cross, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Can we really say, saints, that we are crucified unto the world and the world is crucified unto us? Or do we just love the glitter and the shine of the world a little bit more, the friendship of the world a little bit more than being misunderstood, set aside, and not having too many friends? I hope not. I hope that we love alone with God and in Him. I hope that we love being alone with God more than being a part of the world. Amen? I came across a tract, and Brother Phillips' wife touched on it the other day, and I felt a confirmation for this message because of that too. I'll read this. It's called Cutting Off the Cross. Now that we're talking about those disciples, the few that were at the cross, they were the ones that really, really loved Jesus. You know what they were saying? I don't care if they crucify me with you, Jesus. I love you that much. I don't care what anybody thinks or says. We're going to be here to support you, Jesus, at the foot of the cross. Isn't that what they were saying? Are you right now at the foot of the cross? I hope we are, saints. The cross, it's called. We heard of a dear old brother who for many years took his stand opposing the worldliness and drift in the church and community. His family insisted that things had changed and all was so different now that we should give in and go along with the trends. His wife wanted to wear pantsuits and cut her hair like the popular religious professors around her. The children tried to talk him into letting them install a television set in their home. He was told that he and his wife should put on rings now in their old age to prove that they were married. His girls wanted to wear short skirts, cut their hair, wear jewelry, and his boys wanted to wear long hair. They all declared that they loved the Lord as much as he did and that the popular was not so reproachful. He was troubled in his mind and wondered just what to do. It seemed there was no one who encouraged him to keep contending for the old paths. Then one night he dreamed that he was carrying his cross. The cross was bunglesome, heavy, and painful to his back. In his dream, his family sympathized with him and suggested that he saw off a little of the cross. So he cut off part of the heavy cross. It was lighter, but still somewhat of a burden. So again, he listened to their persuasion and cut off some more of his cross. He then found that his cross was less painful and much easier to bear. It appeared less obnoxious to the family and friends. Traveling on in his dream, he came at last to a chasm deep and wide. Jagged rocks jutted from its sides, and murky waters dashed and roared below. He realized this to be the river of death. To cross it safely meant a landing on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. To fail meant to be carried down to the eternal regions of dark damnation. His heart trembled as he contemplated the treacherous crossing. How could he make it? Then a voice seemed to say, "The cross! Use the cross that you are carrying." He placed one end of the cross on the jutting rocks at his feet, then let it fall in an effort to span the gulf. He started to walk across, but alas, his cross was so short that it slipped off the edge on the farther side, plunging him into the dark waters as he screamed in despair, "If only I had not shortened my cross!" Awaking from his dream, he fell upon his knees and promised God that he would never compromise or let down, even if he must go all alone. Is it lonely today, saints? Would it feel less lonely to join in with the crowd? To go meet with that congregation that has 2,000? They don't have to dress like you. They don't have to bear the reproach. Oh, may the Lord help us to not shorten our cross, saints. We're going to encounter a deep, close, intimate relationship along with John the Apostle and with Mary and Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. Let's stay at the foot of the cross. Let's not shorten it to please ourselves or to please whoever it might be. Amen? May we be crucified with Christ. But it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Going over to John 13, verse 20. You know, when we have an intimate, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to love his ambassadors. We're going to love his people. It says in John 13, verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." I love being with the saints. My wife and I traveled about 16 hours to get here, and we're going to travel 16 hours to go back home. Are you willing to travel that far to go to a camp meeting? Or is it just too far to go even 15 minutes to the camp meeting? I'm shocked at some of the saints that stay home, and some of these meetings are empty, and you live just down the street. I'm very shocked. I'm not condemning you, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just wanting you to think about it. How much do you want an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Acts 16, verse 13. Acts 16, 13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where a prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Verse 15. We're in Acts 16, 15. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, Oh, I don't have time to visit you with up right now. I've got so many appointments." Is that what she said? No. She said, "She besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Do you love to have the ministers in your home? Or do you go, "Oh no, I can't have them come to my house. I don't feel comfortable with them here." When Brother Clint came, when Brother Lauren, Sister Maxine came, I might as well name them all. Brother Matthew, I can't remember all the names that have been there recently to preach. We were so glad to have them there. Brother Michael Smith and his family didn't stay in their home. We have a teeny little home, but they were in their home. And I wanted them to stay in their home, but there wasn't enough room. I didn't want them to leave. Do you love to be around the saints? You go, "I cannot wait for this meeting to end so I can go talk to my friend or text them on the phone." I hope not. Up here going, "I hope this does not end. This is like paradise on earth." If you don't feel that way about it, examine your relationship with the Lord. Talk to Lydia and ask her, "What's your secret?" The Lord opened her heart. And she wanted the servants of the Lord to be with them. She hardly even knew them. They could have been mass murderers. Of course, she knew they weren't. She heard the word of God. She heard the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and she wanted them in her home. You're welcome to my home, saints. Amen. You remember I started with those two that were on the road to Emmaus that said that they constrained him. Who did they constrain? Jesus. Saying, abide with us. And he went to tarry with them. I have a young little boy there. He's the son of Juan and Brenda Renteria, the preacher and his wife. They came out of sectism about 2 years and plus ago. They've had their ups and downs and struggles. They're encouraged right now. But they have a little son named Israel. He was a year and a half when we met him. He just turned 4. And on Sunday, we spent all day with him. I'm not going to go into all the details, but we sometimes leave at 12 at night or 1 in the morning and cross back to our home in the United States in El Paso, Texas, while being there all day long preaching in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And when we're about to leave his home, we go, Papa Israel, and we give him a little hug and a kiss. He goes, no, no te vayas, quédate conmigo. He says, no, don't leave, stay with us. And we said, oh, Israel, we can't stay because we have to go back home and do such and such. Oh, no, no, stay with us. And I say, well, I take you with us, Israel, but you don't have your papers to cross legally. They'll put us in jail. No, 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 stay with us. And we have to comfort him a while before we can leave. Is that the way we plead with Jesus? Jesus, don't leave. Stay with me. I want you near me. Oh, I don't want this service to end. I want it to continue. Or you go, I can't wait till it ends. My stomach's beginning to gurgle. These preachers going on till 12:30 and I want to eat. I hope you don't love the food more than Jesus. Amen. May the Lord help us. Oh, I know nobody's thinking that way here. I know. You're all dead and crucified with Christ. I know, but some might not be. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 4 verse 20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why would Jesus be standing outside when he should have been inside? He was standing outside of the door of the church of the Laodiceans. Not the building, but outside of their heart. He was outside knocking, not inside. He was wanting to come in. If we are the church of God, should not Christ be in us? Christ in you, the hope of glory? You know, there are some denominations, many of them, sadly, that have cast out Jesus. He's outside knocking, and they're inside having a good time with their creeds and doctrines of men, and Jesus is outside knocking, trying to get in. Aren't you thankful to have Jesus inside? I'm thankful that Jesus is in my heart. It says in we're in Revelation chapter 4, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. And we'll sup with him, and he with me. What would you do if Jesus literally showed up tonight and knocked at the door of your house? And you opened the door? Would you tell him to come in, or would you go, wait a minute, I wasn't ready. Close the door and go start hiding some things? Changing your clothes? Turning off that music? Hiding the TV? What would you do? I love it in our neighborhood. We have these ice cream cone trucks that pass by, snow cone trucks. And the street can be peaceful dead, and there comes this ding 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 ding. You can be in bed asleep and you can hear it. And I've sometimes been outside and you know what? I hear doors opening, kids running out. Stop, stop, wait, I need to get my money. And they'll go run inside and run. And when it doesn't stop, they start crying. The kids, he didn't stop, mama, he didn't stop, he didn't hear me. All for an ice cream cone, or for ice cream or candies. They're doing that because their flesh desires the sweet. You know, may our heart desire the sweetness of an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. And may we cry when he leaves and we don't feel him near us. May we hurt. May we want him close. May we want, like we heard the sister say, may he be holding her hand. And if he's holding her hand, what's the problem? Why are we crying? There should be no sadness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, do we hear his voice? If those little kids can hear that ding, 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 surely we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling us to read our Bible, calling us to pray, calling us to go help that brother, that sister that is discouraged, calling us to go preach the Word of God. Come over and help us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You are good and you are faithful, Lord. Thanks be unto the Lord. Let's go over to, praise the Lord, Luke chapter 7, Luke 7, verse 37. You remember the man, the Pharisee that invited Jesus to his house to eat, and that sinner woman came in, verse 37, and behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. You can't get more intimate than that, can you? You're a strange woman. You're in sin. You hear about this Jesus that's forgiving and showing mercy and giving people new life, and you go to him. Wouldn't you be a little bit embarrassed to even show up in the house knowing that you're a prostitute? What are the people going to say? Are they going to kick me out? She didn't care what anybody said. There's a song in Spanish that says, I kiss your feet in front of everybody. I don't care what anybody thinks. It's a beautiful song. You know that when we obey the Lord, when we do his will, we're kissing his feet. We're throwing kisses at him. We're speaking his love language when we obey him and do his will. She fell down at his feet and was, can you imagine kissing the feet of Jesus? What a privilege. What a joy. When we kneel down and pray, we're kissing the feet of Jesus, saints. We're having a very close, intimate. When we're crying, you just picture yourself, the teardrops falling on his feet. It's a precious, precious thing. I'll tell a quick story. I didn't mean to tell this, but the Lord is bringing it to my mind. We were once in a restaurant outside of Whataburger, and my wife and I were going to go in and eat. We had just finished house cleaning. We had our house cleaning business. And there was a bum outside with his hair all ratted and standing up and filthy dirty. He looked like he was out of his mind. And we went out to eat. We walked right by him and went inside to eat. And I was about to order my Whataburger, and the Lord said, you go buy him something first and take it out to him. And I said, right now, Lord? And yes. So I bought it for him, and I went outside, and I called my wife, and I gave him the hamburger and I think something to drink. And the Lord moved me to ask him, are you saved? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? And he said, no. And I said, would you like to? And I thought he was going to say, no, leave me alone. He said, yes. And I said, excuse me, what did you say? He said, yes. So he talked to me a little bit about his life. He had gone to war and had obviously had a nervous breakdown. He was raised Mormon. And so he let me pray with him to be saved. He prayed to be saved. A very touching prayer. We're speaking about the tears that fell down on the feet of Jesus from this sinful woman. As I was praying for him, I was holding his hands. And I felt something hot fall on my head. It was a tear from him. Do we just walk by people, saints? Do we just overlook them and think, I don't want to waste time with them. They're not going to listen to the gospel. That was a tear of salvation. We didn't see him for a while. Later on, 3 months went by, something like that, and we were driving by a Dunkin' Donuts. For some reason, my eyes turned that way. I love Dunkin' Donuts. Anyway, I saw a man sitting there reading the Bible, and I told my wife, my wife recognized him. She said, isn't that that man that was with his hair all ratted and at the front of Whataburger? I go, no, that's not him. She goes, it is. So we drove by. I got out, and I was going to prove my wife wrong. And I walked up to him, and as I looked at him, I go, I think that is him. And I talked to him, and I said, what are you reading? And he said, I'm reading the book of Luke about the birth of Jesus, he said. And I said, do you understand? He says, I do. And it's something like to the fact that it really touches me, he said. And I said, do you remember who I am? And he goes, no. Well, I didn't care if you remember me or not. It made it worthwhile, saints. Can you imagine Jesus having this woman and the tear falls down at his feet? And he thinking, she's anointing me for my death. This tear from this sinful woman is worth it all to go to the cross for her. Amen? When that tear fell, and the first tear fell on Jesus' feet, it would have been a very intimate thing for Jesus. Amen? You know, when we weep in the services and prayer, we weep because we're happy, we weep because we're touched. Can you picture that teardrop falling on Jesus' feet? It's a very intimate thing. (Clears throat) This day, this woman had a very intimate encounter with Jesus, and she left a saved woman. Amen. If you're today a sinner, and you're afraid what others are thinking about you, put it all aside. Take courage like this woman and come bow down. Call the servants of the Lord to come pray with you. Or kneel down where you're at and ask somebody to pray for you that you want to be saved. Enter into this very intimate, precious relationship with the Lord, and you're not going to go away sorrowful. Praise the Lord. Luke 17, we remember the 10 lepers that were healed. They all went away. One was found that he was healed and he came back, was cleansed and he came back. He had a very intimate moment with the Lord. Luke 17, verse 16. And he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Are you content just to hear the songs and to hear Jesus tell you that he loves you in the songs and to hear the preaching and then get up and not go back home and kneel down and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the services. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for all that you've done for me. He returned back and gave thanks. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for, saints. When we show thanksgiving, it'll bring us into more intimate relationship with the Lord. John 11, verse 20. Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Jesus was about to resurrect him. Martha and Mary were sad, maybe even disappointed because he didn't show up during those 4 days. And maybe they were disappointed. Maybe they were offended. I don't know. Deeply hurt inside. Why did you take so long to come, Lord? He was your friend. Why did you wait so long? Do you ever feel that way? You ask something and you feel the Lord is not answering you, and you might feel a little hurt. You might allow it to distance you a little bit from the Lord. Maybe that's where these women found themselves this day. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Martha ran out quickly. But Mary stayed still in the house. It doesn't tell us why. But Jesus gave her another opportunity. He called her again. Has the Lord been speaking to you about something? Calling you to something and you have not listened the first time? He's going to call you again. He's going to bring it to your memory again. Respond the second time. Don't wait. Verse 28, John 11, 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. But her response was different now. As soon as she heard that, she arose and quickly and came unto him. It says verse 31. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. It says that she rose up quickly, she came unto him, and then it says again that she rose hastily. Do we hastily get up to do the Lord's will when he tells us to do something, or do we wait and he has to tell us a second time? I remember growing up, I had a very close, intimate relationship with my grandmother. My parents and I were not very close, sad to say, even though I love them. I didn't feel love in the way that I felt I should be loved. I don't condemn them. I'm thankful that I have a more close relationship with my mother now. My dad is gone. But my grandparents filled that gap, that place, and they just loved me. I was a very cute baby when I was small, and they really spoiled me a lot, and they'd buy me candies and games and toys. I still have some of them. And she'd go, oh, you're so pretty, you're so cute, oh, I love you. And my grandmother would put me between her and my grandfather and give me my bottle, and I'd be so spoiled. And between them, they're spoiled. And I just had a very, very close, intimate relationship with my grandparents. I just loved them to death. I'd run away from home to go visit them when I was a little boy. They were about like 3 blocks away. And anyway, when they'd come to visit us, I'd recognize the sound of the vehicle. It had a certain sound. One of those older vehicles. And I knew I could be in bed asleep or I could be playing with my friends in the backyard. And as soon as I heard that vehicle come, I'd drop what I was doing. I'd leave them. I'd get up a bed and I'd run out to greet them with open arms. Why? Because I had a very close, intimate relationship with them. Mary and Martha had a very close, intimate relationship with the Lord, but something had happened to our sister, Mary. She was beginning to get lukewarm. Something had happened. Something had interfered, or else she would have gotten up immediately when Jesus came. Would she have not? Something had interfered. Oh, may we not allow anything to interfere. When Jesus calls us, may we run to him quickly. Amen? Praise the Lord. John chapter 19. John 20. We're almost done. John 20, verse 19. You remember the time after Jesus had resurrected, he had appeared to some of the disciples except to Thomas? There's the situation here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then we read of Thomas later on in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them, even with them, when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. It's interesting there to notice that they were assembled. The disciples were assembled. It says, for fear of the Jews, had the door shut. When the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. In Spanish, it gives the impression that they had the door shut for fear of the Jews, but that they were assembled. Why do we assemble, saints? I believe it could have been a worship service. Amen? It could have very well been that they were assembled, not just for fear of the Jews, but rather that they had the door shut for fear of the Jews, and they were assembled. It was like a worship meeting. Amen? And who didn't show up to this assembling? Thomas. Only one service he didn't come. In that service, he could have had his doubts cleared. His faith could have been inspired and restored. But he went yet another week doubting and fearful and worrying and sad and down in the dumps. When he could have had one wonderful week of rejoicing with the disciples because he missed one service. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who understands what I'm saying, saints? You miss one service, it's easier to miss the next service. Pretty soon, the two services turn into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. And pretty soon, it's hit and miss. And pretty soon, you're out, cold. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't consider missing one service as nothing. That's one step in the wrong direction. Thomas missed this assembling, and he doubted. And it wasn't until he came to the service, you might say, and they're again gathered together, that he saw a vision of Jesus, the glorified Jesus. And he believed and he said, my Lord and my God. Amen? Then he was able to, woo, rejoice with the rest of the saints. He's risen! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! He's risen! I saw him for myself! Amen? Can you do that? Maybe you missed too many services. If you can't. Amen? Praise the Lord. In the earlier days of our country, there was a weary traveler that came to the banks of the Mississippi River. It was in the early winter, and there was, it seemed to be like a thin sheet of ice. She wasn't sure if there was a lot of ice. It was thick enough to cross the river, and there was no bridge in sight, and this woman had to get across to a very important appointment. And she just was hesitating, should I cross or not? If I cross and I get to a weak spot, I'll fall through and I'll freeze to death and drown. So she got an idea. She said, I know what, I'll distribute the weight. So she got down on her hands and knees and she started to crawl across, distributing her weight all across the river, slowly by slowly, fearing. And all of a sudden in the distance came a wagon with 8 horses, an 18 horses with a real heavy load of coal and just didn't even hesitate. He crossed the river, full blast, and went right by her. Can you imagine how foolish she felt? Here she was crawling and being careful, and he just drives by. Well, how did it affect her? She immediately got up. It gave her courage. It gave her confidence that everything would be okay. That's the way Thomas was. He was doubting. He was afraid. It's all ended. Jesus died. And what are we going to do now? And he was down in the dumps because he missed that one service. It tells us in the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us. Praise the Lord. In Acts 28, verse 15, this is Paul the Apostle. He was traveling. He had had a lot of discouragements. He was being persecuted. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Epiphorium and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. When he saw the brethren, what do we see when we come to the service of saints? What do we see when we come to camp meeting saints? Oh, I can't wait to say hello to brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Does it leave you down in the dumps? Doesn't it lift your spirits to see them there again? Encouraged, continuing? It does me. I've only known some of you for 9 years. 9 years has been long enough for me to be encouraged to see you each time. It's encouraging. It says that Paul took courage, thank God, and took courage. When this woman was making a fool of herself, trembling and afraid to cross the river, thinking she was going to fall, that the foundation was going to collapse under her, when she saw that other person going full blast, it gave her courage to get up and walk with honor across the river with dignity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? We can walk with dignity. We can walk with dignity. We don't have to be ashamed. Oh, one of those things. Everybody thinks that we're old-fashioned. I can't handle it. No. We are the saints of the living God, saints. Don't be ashamed. You praise the Lord because you're one of the saints. You're a prince. You're a queen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When Paul saw the saints, he took courage and thanked the Lord. There was a certain a woman of the church that we left, but I'm going to use the example. She was a missionary in the Philippines, I believe. And she was discouraged. It had been about a year. She had preached, and the people that had listened had fallen out. They didn't come to services anymore. She was very discouraged. She said, I'm going to, after this visit that we have in this room, I'm going to hang up my shoes and give up missionary work. They went to visit this saint woman in a little shack made out of sticks and weeds, and they sat in there. She gave them a little meal. She didn't have a whole lot. She was very poor. You've seen those houses in Mexico? Brother Ibrahim in India has seen them. Those of you gone to Africa have seen poor people in Mexico. Anyway, as she was leaving, the woman of the home, this poor widow woman that fed them, the missionary and her companion, the woman got something out of her pocket and gave it to this missionary that was discouraged and put it in her pocket. And when she walked out, she put her hand in her pocket and she pulled an egg. That woman didn't have any money to give her, nothing expensive, but her hand had laid an egg, maybe the only egg she had to eat that day, and she stuck it in the pocket of the missionary. Maybe you won't understand. Those are what the missionaries do. To think of that woman sacrificing something to give to her, when she was thinking of even leaving the ministry, it just touched her so much that she took courage and thanked the Lord. She's still in the ministry today. Amen. We're so thankful, Lord, for this fellowship, a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. Intimate relationship with one another that helps us to take courage and thank the Lord. Amen. We're almost done. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Jesus will. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Where does Jesus carry us? In his bosom. Close to his heart. Like a mother carries her child. Close to his heart. That's where Jesus carries us. Is that where you want to be? That's where I want to be. There's something reassuring about hearing the heartbeat of Jesus. I love to be near Jesus. Last verse. Matthew 23, verse 37. Matthew 23:37. Jesus came to Israel. They were the apple of God's eye, God's peculiar treasure, God's chosen people. They didn't receive him. To this day, most of the Jews do not believe Jesus came. They're still waiting for the Messiah. Only a few select have chosen and believed on Jesus. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. If you're not one of the ones that's under the wings of Jesus, it's very comfy there. It's very warm. It's a comfortable position to be in. There's peace. There's tranquility. There's no alarm. There's trust. If you're not there, Jesus is saying, come underneath my wings. You know, sometimes when there's danger, the mother hen will give a warning cluck, and all the chicks will come running and get underneath her. I don't know if you've seen them do that. They recognize that. Jesus is giving you a warning cluck right now, saying there's a fire coming. It's a day of judgment. If you're not ready, you're going to be cast in. But, why did I so much? That day is coming. But right now, Jesus is giving the warning cluck for you to come and get underneath his wings. I'll finish with the story. There was once a prayer fire, and the fireman, Brother Ed, knows about putting out fires. They went to control the fire. It's a control fire. And one of the men that was taking care of the fire saw a big blob of something black and kicked it. And it rolled, and underneath came out running little prairie chicks. A big fire had come, blazing, and the mother hen had given out a, I don't know how it sounded, but, and they all came running under her. And she protected them. Isn't that something what God has put in those hands? And she's burning. She could have left and says, I'm getting out of here. Leave the chicks there. But she died for them. Jesus did that for us. He took our place. He died for us. Don't you want to be intimate with someone like that? Oh, may his perfect love burn within our hearts. It's when we have that burning fire that we're going to be reshaped and shaped. Oh, did not our hearts burn within us? Does your heart burn within you? I hope so.